Sean Mize here, and going to jump right into becoming a recognized guru in your market, in any market, or in any niche. And I believe there's three primary components that contribute to both literally becoming an expert, becoming a guru, and becoming perceived as the recognized expert or guru. And I really believe that these two go hand in hand. I will say this, I believe that it is possible to be the world expert or the world guru and literally hold more knowledge on a particular topic than anyone else in the world. And if nobody knows that, you're not perceived as the guru. I see this also possible to be perceived as the world expert or the world guru and not be the world expert or the world guru. However, after implementing what I'm going to teach here, I believe that in any market and in any niche, you can literally do both. You can literally become the world's expert or the world guru in your particular market or your niche. Okay, I'd like to talk a little bit about the concept of, before we get into the components of making this happen, I want to touch on the concept of what constitutes a guru or an expert in today's market. Okay? Generally, if we're looking at the world expert or the guru in a particular market, we're generally looking at someone who has one of two or both scenarios occurring. One is that this individual has more information on this particular topic than anyone else, and or, okay, they are presenting it in such a way that a greater number of people are utilizing their information or their knowledge versus anybody else in the particular niche. Okay, now, kind of going back to this idea that you could literally be the world expert and not be perceived as it, or you could be perceived as and literally not be, okay? I believe that there is an aging principle that happens to guruship. And I believe that a lot of times when someone becomes the world expert, today they have more information than anyone else. Perhaps today they have more trust than anyone else. However, if over time they begin to back out of the actual duties that go along with being the world expert or being the world guru, meaning that perhaps they stop publishing, they stop writing new information, they begin to rehash old information, okay? Perhaps even in some cases they back out of a market entirely. Sometimes we even see the scenario where someone will sell their business and their name and the branding rights to their name to another company who literally uses advertising and autoresponders to impersonate that particular guru. However, the new information is not coming from the guru themselves. And I believe that in any of these aging situations where someone used to be a guru, and I believe there's many, many markets where this is the case today, where someone used to be the guru, however, they are still positioned as the guru because people are making their decisions based on past actions. I believe that in many, many, many markets, you can go into those markets and not only put yourself in a position where you have more current knowledge and information than the accepted guru, I believe that you can also position yourself to be perceived as being that expert or that guru. So let's talk about the components. I'm going to tell you what those components are first, and then I'm going to go into some detail on exactly how you can make these components happen. Number one, you must have the niche knowledge. You must know the information that's required in your particular niche arena to be the expert. And so one comment on this, before we go to the second component, one comment on this is that any knowledge that any one person holds today is a finite amount of knowledge. Okay, now the total information that someone could learn in the future, you know, possibly could be an infinite, or it could be an infinite access type of level of knowledge. However, if we were to do a snapshot in time at any given place, we all have a finite level of knowledge. And I believe that any time that there is a finite amount of anything, okay, that there is the possibility of adding to that finiteness, okay? Meaning that if one person, let's say that the expert in your market holds 100 bits of information, and whatever that means, whether it's 100 pages of information, whether it's 100 years of information, whether it's 100 barrels of information, that in order for you to have more information than that individual, all you have to do is go out and learn one of two things. Number one, the same 10 bits or same 100 bits of information that that person has, plus one more. Okay? Or you can go out and learn other bits of information, okay, that possibly, because of the aging principle we've just talked about, especially in many niches that are rapidly changing, it may actually be beneficial to go out and learn new bits of information, and you can still be in a position in a very short period of time to literally have more knowledge than the current recognized expert or guru. Okay, now, having the knowledge doesn't necessarily make you the recognized guru. So that's what we're going to talk about in the next two components. The next two components are, and the second component, Component number two, the first component, of course, being you've got to have the niche knowledge. Okay? The second component is, and I don't believe, I'm going to state it in such a way that I believe that you should appear prolific. Okay, now, there's a bit of a caveat here, okay, because just because you're prolific doesn't make you an expert. And if you're an expert, you don't need to be prolific. However, there's a huge correlation between expertness and guru level knowledge and being prolific. Okay, so what we find is that people that are recognized as experts and gurus tend to be more prolific. And by being more prolific, meaning writing more, meaning producing more products, meaning doing more trainings, okay, then it makes it much easier for people to believe that you are an expert. And so for just a case in point, let's say we have two experts, and these two experts have a very similar amount of knowledge in their mind. We have expert A and expert B. If expert A has one book written, and expert B has 100 videos produced that are each standing as their own standalone product, okay, which of those experts is probably going to be perceived by the rest of the world as being the superior expert? My guess is it would be the person with 100 products versus one, assuming that they're both equally expert. Okay? And the third component, I believe that you must appear and act as an expert. Okay, now, this can be done in a few different ways, and I'm going to go through this. I'm even going to give you some language that you can use to help other people perceive you as an expert. Okay, again, I do believe that this should be used ethically, because, by the way, I believe that some of the information that I'm sharing with you today could be used unethically. And I don't want to see it used that way, but I really believe that you should position yourself as an expert and not be the expert. And so, frankly, I'd like to see that everyone take the information that I'm giving you and not just use it to perceive yourself as being an expert, okay, but position yourself as literally having the expertise, okay, and in addition to having the expertise, okay, then presenting yourself and positioning yourself as being the recognized expert, okay? Now, I believe, and let me go into this in some more detail in a moment, but I believe that there are some very, very specific things that you can do that by doing them, because they're things that generally only experts and gurus do, that when people see that particular action, they therefore believe that you are a guru and expert, because nobody except for you and other gurus and experts do this particular thing. Okay, so we've all heard, you know, this concept of people believe what you do over and above what you necessarily say. They believe what they see over and above what what you may say about yourself. And so I believe there's some very specific actions that you can take, and I'm going to share those with you in a few moments. I'm going to go back to component number one. So those are the three components. Number one, you've got to literally have the niche knowledge in order to be the niche expert, the niche guru. Okay. I also believe that you will also be prolific. I don't believe that this is you absolutely must be prolific. However, I believe that it's huge, that just simply by being prolific, you'll add to your perceived level of expertness or guru status. And then the third is that you must appear to be an expert. Okay, so let's go back to number one. You've got to know the niche knowledge. Obviously, wherever you're at in the continuum of having niche knowledge, let's say that a beginner has one bit of information, whatever that is, one barrel of information or one page of information or one book full of information, and a guru in your market has 100 bits of information, whether that's 100 barrels, 100 pages, whatever we are. So we got the beginner has zero or one, and the expert has 100. And let's say that you are at 20. So your goal is not to get to 100, but to get to 101. When you get to 101, your goal is to get to 102, and then maybe 120, then maybe 200, and put yourself in a position that no one else can knock you off that stool or that place of being the recognized guru or the expert in your particular market. Okay, so no matter where you're at, whether you're a zero, whether you're a 20, whether you're an 80, or you're a 99, okay, and you want to surpass the level of knowledge of the recognized guru, I believe there's a few things that you can do to help make that happen. Okay? The first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a couple of simple things that can help you move along the scale. These may not push you over the edge. Maybe they would. These may not push you over the edge, but these could take you from 0 to 30, or from 20 to 50, or from 50 to 70. Or maybe over time they could take you from 0 to 20 and then 20 to 40 to 60 and maybe 60 to 100. Maybe they couldn't get you all the way. Really probably depends on what's available. In many markets, there are extensive books and audio recordings and possibly even videos that teach the basics or the intermediate or the expert level information that's necessary to go from 0 to 100. And so I believe that there's always as a good start would be to really go out and read as much information as possible on that particular niche. That may look like going to the local library and checking out every single book on a particular topic. And I genuinely believe that if you were to take your particular niche and check every single book out of the local library on your niche, assuming there's books, you were to read every single book, literally read them from cover to cover, and then maybe even go into the bibliography and then read every book that's in the bibliography. My guess is that in many, many niches, you could go from 0 to 70 or 80 in a very short period of time just with that information. Obviously, some niches you can do more than others. Okay? Now, let's say we said, well, we don't want to use a library, okay, and we literally want to purchase that information. Excellent. Go to the local bookstore or go to an online bookstore and purchase the top 30 books that teach on this particular topic, read them all and study them all. I believe that in most niches, that can send you from 0 to 70 or 80. Okay, now, how do we go to the next level? We have this basic knowledge that we can learn from books. And by the way, we could literally skip that basic knowledge step with the next step I'm going to give you, or we could do both. The next step that I believe that you want to take is to identify the top 10 most expert or most guru status individuals in your niche today. Who is number one, who is number two, who is number three? And if your goal is to become number one over and above number one, what a better way to do it, rather than just simply learning more information than number one, that if you were to learn more information than number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, all the way down to number 10, would that not position you in almost every single case on earth as having more knowledge and more information than any one of those top 10 experts or top 10 gurus in your particular niche? Now, I believe that the way to do this is, because we go back to component number two, okay, that I mentioned earlier, that generally speaking, we see that experts and gurus are more prolific than non-experts and non-gurus. And what often happens with experts and gurus is part of the way that they prove themselves to be experts and gurus is by teaching other people the knowledge they have in their mind. Because if they don't teach other people that knowledge, if it simply stays locked up in their mind, other people can't see that they are an expert. So part of the expert or guru process is teaching other people. And if those gurus and experts are teaching other people, you can learn that same information. Okay, so the recommendation is to literally go out and purchase all of your competitors' products. All of your competitors' products. So let me ask you this. I want to open up the call. Open up the call and ask this question. If you were to go out and find the top 10 experts in your niche today, purchase all of their products and study them voraciously, what are the odds that you could literally own in your mind more information than any one of those particular top 10 experts or gurus in your market? What do you think?
Absolutely, yeah.
I think so. Plus, you'll do another thing is you're going to see what you don't like about them and then what you would do instead. So you'll have that in addition.
Absolutely right, Beverly. So one of the things, so not only the advantage, and again, I'm going to a super-duper extreme here by saying literally purchase all of the top 10 people's products, okay? Obviously, I mean, that could even be perceived as overkill. I mean, you might be able to literally, simply by picking and choosing, purchase two or three products from each of your competitors, and by studying that material, maybe getting a feel for maybe there's one other product that has some core foundational information that's necessary or some specialty advanced information that's necessary, that by purchasing only a select amount of information, that you could become or be positioned as having more information than anyone else in the niche. So, what you refer to here, Beverly, and this is a powerful concept, is the idea that if you were to take each one of those particular experts and find their weakness, so expert number one, what's their weakness? Expert number two, what's their weakness? Expert number three, what's their weakness? And if you were to resolve those weaknesses in your own presentation, would you not, just by the nature of doing that one step, be able to now position yourself, along with being armed with the knowledge, to literally be expert among experts, or guru of gurus?
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. What if you were to go into a market, okay, and again, now we're thinking about this idea of going into a market that's maybe heavily expert-influenced. I mean, there may be many markets out there you could go in without doing this step, or there's only one or two people that are legitimate competition. And I mean, those would be people that would be very easy to unseat. Okay, so now we're talking about a very competitive market, and I believe I'm giving you a strategy where you could literally go into a competitive market, find the top 10 teachers in that particular market, top five, whatever the case is. Okay, go in there, learn all of their highest level strategies, begin teaching everything as a total package. I believe it could be argued that you were not only positioned as the preferred expert, but you would literally own in your mind more information than any one of those particular experts on their own. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, that's an excellent strategy.
I think it's very possible, because as you said, a lot of these experts they became expert years ago, and they're like semi-retired now, and they're just rehashing the same old, same old. and not nothing new. A lot of times, not always, but that does exist.
Plus, yeah, absolutely.
Plus, some of the people I've sort of worked with, I found they've got so big now, you can't get any personal access to them. So that's a big weakness.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Leonardo. And that is another huge area of exploitation, that someone who's smaller, okay, that's starting out without having a huge basis, okay, without having a huge client base, that those individuals literally do have the time to take on personal clients, whereas many times the top-level gurus, especially if they're traveling a lot, they're doing seminars a lot, and you know, they two things happen. Number one, they price themselves out of the market, okay, because, you know, they may be at the place where they're earning, let's just throw a number out there, thousands of dollars per hour when they work, okay, just by the nature of whatever they do, whether it's seminars, whether it's publishing, whatever the case is. What happens is we all only have so many hours in our day, and so if we just assume that this top-level guru has 40 hours in his or her day, okay, and most of those hours are spent, you know, building this business, running this business, running this guruship, okay, at an average income possibly, and you're throwing a number out there, thousands of hours per hour, okay, unless that guru were to specifically say, okay, I'm going to set aside 3 hours a week where money's not an issue, okay, and that could happen, okay, but if they were to do that, we're still limited by a few hours per week that are available at some below market cost. Okay. If they weren't to do that and they were to say, I am going to take on a consulting client, if they're economically minded and they're not going to spare a couple, 3 hours for lower cost work, okay, then the only way for it to be economically feasible for them would be to charge at least what their average profit is just by the work that they do. And so what happens is a lot of times gurus simply price themselves out of a particular market. If you can come in a short time, learn what matters in a particular market, okay, and learn the information that's there, you position yourself as not only being, having the expert information and being the guru, but you are for a limited time, for some period of time, 3 months, 6 months, a year, you're in a position where you can offer one-on-one help or small group help, whereas a lot of times the actual guru or the prior guru, once you unseat them, they're unable to do that. So, absolutely. Okay. Let's move to component number two. And maybe before we move to component number two, let's touch on this idea of buying the competitor's products one more time. Okay. There's a couple of thoughts that I want to throw out here. Okay. I want to make it very clear that in no way am I suggesting that anyone should go out and buy one person's products and then duplicate the teaching there. Okay? There's a very specific reason why I suggested going out and buying 10 products, 10 competitors' products. And that's so that you could gain a well-rounded knowledge, and so that by having this well-rounded knowledge, you could teach from the information that's in your mind, and you would not be in a position where you might – it might appear to be plagiarizing anything from any one particular expert. However, by going out and literally learning all of the knowledge out there, you can reposition that information many times with a new angle, especially if you were to purchase all of the competitor's products. Okay, you can literally position things from a new angle. You know, the question would be, if you were to purchase all of your competitor's products, even if you didn't actually learn more information than any one particular person had in their own mind, you would still have more information than all of those experts are presenting to the world, okay? And you would literally be in a position where you could present more total information to the world than any one particular expert. Does that make sense?
Yes. Quite possibly could have 10 times more the information, or at least 5 times if you were looking at 10 people.
Yes, absolutely. Certainly there's going to be some overlap. Okay, so,
yes.
You know, you're absolutely right. It wouldn't probably be. I mean, we always have a realm of possibility. Okay, it would probably be literally 10 times, but I believe a factor of 5 is possible. A factor of 2 to 3 times is, I think, very, very doable. And, you know, if we were only talking about the idea of, let's say the guru, the expert, is at 100 pieces of information, 100 barrels of information, and all you really need is 101, okay, or 120, and you could literally make that 200. Wow. I mean, what a place to position yourself, you know, and what a place to position yourself. Absolutely. Okay, so let's move on to number two. And so the second component is this idea of prolificness, okay, literally writing or producing more products than the other people. Okay, now, the first component and the third component, I believe, are must-haves. I really do. I believe that they go hand in hand. They're must-haves. I believe that, number one, you've got to have the knowledge. I believe that's a must-have. And then I also believe that you have to appear as an expert. That's number three. I believe that's a must-have. I really do. I don't believe that you can go in and ethically do what we're discussing right here, okay, without doing number one or number three. Right? We're doing them both. However, this number two that I'm going to give you right now, I'm going to give you some ways that you can do this, okay? I believe you can do it without it. However, I believe that by doing it, it just makes the whole process easier. Okay, and so I really believe that this is something that you should do in your quest to become a recognized guru in your market, to become the recognized guru or expert in your market. I believe you should do this. There's a few different ways you can do it. One of those ways is literally writing articles. Okay, now, I recommend that in writing articles for this purpose, that you post those articles to multiple websites. Okay, and so just to throw a few out there right now, one would be obviously easingarticles.com, another might be articlesbase.com, another articlesnatch.com, another goarticles.com, and another articleshub.com, possibly even hubpages or hubspot.com, and there's many other, depending on the niche, trade websites where you could become published. Okay, now, the reason that we want to submit to multiple websites instead of just one is for the search engines. And the reason for this is generally in the search engines, we see only one or two possibilities to be ranked per website where you're mentioned, okay, where you have an article published. And so if someone simply Googles your name to maybe see if you appear to be an expert, okay, by being published in 10 different locations rather than just one will really help you look more like an expert. Now, again, this is one of those things that goes hand in hand with being an expert, okay? This is part of the process of appearing to be an expert, which, again, I've mentioned, should only go hand in hand with literally being an expert. Okay, now, I believe there's some other places that can help you appear to be prolific, and really, by doing these, you're going to be prolific, okay? One of those would be a video on YouTube. Another place would be your blog, and another place would be your website. Now, notice that I'm talking about blog and website as two different things. I really believe that if your purpose is to become the recognized world expert or world guru, I believe you need both. And I believe that they should be on two separate URLs. The reason for that is, okay, the reason for that is so that you have a possibility of showing both of them as two separate lines in your search engine rankings. That's the only reason. It has nothing to do with links or any other level of added exposure. The only thing is that if you have two websites, you have two opportunities to own a particular name. Okay, to own a particular search term. In fact, if you were to do search engine optimization, and obviously this discussion is not about search engine optimization, but let's just say that you were doing search engine optimization for a particular keyword or key phrase in your niche, and you wanted to have more than one spot on the top 10, you would need, in most cases, more than one website. One could be a website and a blog. Or you could go out and purchase multiple websites and have multiple websites. And in theory, it's very difficult to do. But in theory, by owning 10 different websites and by optimizing all 10 websites for that keyword, you could literally own all 10 top spots in the search engines. Now, again, that's a theoretical type of thing. I've seen some scenarios where I've seen like 7 or 8, okay, being owned by one individual. I've experienced that type of thing in a few cases myself, okay. It's not something that necessarily happens all the time. It's something that, depending on the keyword, is something that could be done, possibly. Okay. However, it can only be done by having multiple websites. And, again, don't want to make this about SEO. It would, because we're discussing this, those 10 websites should be on 10 different servers. And preferably, without going into any detail on this, with 10 different web hosting companies. I'm going to stop right there. This is not about SEO. This is about becoming a guru. The next things that I believe that you need to position yourself as being prolific is to write a PDF. This can be 10 pages long. It does not need to be anything big, but this will be a targeted PDF with specific information, okay, that teaches something in your niche. I believe you should also have a PDF on your blog site. I believe you should also have a PDF posted on all of your other websites, okay, because it's possible for you to have that PDF come up in the search engines. I believe that this is a huge piece of being prolific. I believe that you should create products. Now, I believe that in today's world, in today's markets, the simplest, easiest way to create a product is to do a recording, okay? And there's many different ways that you can do this. One way to create a recording is to interview an expert. Another way to do a recording is to have someone interview you. Another way to do a recording is to create an outline and teach from that outline. The recording can be anywhere from, like, say, on the low at 60 minutes up to 10 hours worth of information. Could be 20 hours worth of information. Okay. However, if we were going to position ourselves as an expert and we were to say that maybe we were going to do 20 hours worth of information, I might suggest that 10 of those hours be one great product, capstone, complete home study course type of a thing. And then maybe the other 10 recordings would all be standalone products, an hour apiece, standalone products where someone can dig deep into a particular advanced topic in your particular niche. There's a couple other things that I believe that can help position you as being an expert, and this leads into number 3, okay, and I'll tell you what these are. They go along with the idea of being prolific. They also go along with the idea of positioning yourself and appearing as an expert. So let's do this. Let's just move over to number 3 now, and we'll start talking about these. The idea here is that you must appear as an expert. Okay, now there's a couple of things particularly that will immediately allow other people to begin to believe that you are an expert. Okay? And that is when they read or listen to information from you that is new to them. Meaning that you are teaching them something they don't know. And especially if you can teach that with a level of authority. Okay? And a level of authority may be the tone of your voice, the tone of the writing that you are doing. It simply appears, okay, to be coming from a place, and really should come from this place, okay, but that it certainly appears to come from this place that you literally know what you're talking about, okay? And obviously, in order to come across as though you literally know what you're talking about, the best way to do that is to literally know what you're talking about. However, sometimes people sabotage that. They may know what they're talking about. They may know it to be fact, but they're so scared of stating a fact that they pepper their conversation with phrases like, in my opinion, and I think, and some people would say. Those phrases are fine if that's the case. If this is something that it's your opinion and there is disagreement, excellent. State that it's your opinion, state what the disagreement is, and state why you believe that your opinion is better than someone else's opinion. Okay? But now that is your statement. However, in many cases, you can make factual statements and not call them your opinion if they are a factual statement. Step out and be willing to call things what they are. Okay. When you present information to other people in such a way that they see it as being brand new information to them, they begin to position you in their own mind, whether you tell them that you are or not, as an expert. One of the ways that you can do that is through your email campaign. Literally sending out a tip to someone in an email, in an audio, in a video that says, here is a tip that you can use in your niche. Okay, now, if you had to choose and you're creating 10 tips to put into your autoresponder campaign, should you choose 10 tips that are common knowledge or 10 tips that are not common knowledge? I would choose 10 tips that are not common knowledge, because that way you have the best opportunity of wowing someone with repeatedly teaching them something new that they haven't heard somewhere else. Okay. Another way that you are able to position yourself as an expert in the communication that you do, okay, and these are a couple of subtle things that you can do. These are things that can help bolster your position as being an expert or a guru. The things that I'm going to suggest to you next couple of minutes are not things that on their own are going to prove you to be an expert. However, if everything else lines up, people are going to believe in their gut. They're going to believe that this continues to position yourself as an expert. Okay? And some of this would be subtle language, such as if you genuinely believe yourself to be an expert, and you're talking about another expert, okay, you could literally use the language another expert. You could literally use other experts. You could use that language and literally subtly include it in communication, okay, and by implication, you're grouping yourself into the group of experts. Again, this isn't something, this is just a little tiny piece. This isn't something that's going to make you an expert, and it's not going to be something that makes people believe you to be an expert, but it has to back up your expertness, okay? You know, it's kind of like when people perceive you, and they look at you, and they perceive you as being anything, you have to line up to all of their senses, okay? So, for example, if you, and this is going to go into an offline example, just to show you, just to give you a picture of what happens inside of people, okay? And in fact, this is the method that, you know, the police and the federal investigators often use to spot crooks and cheats, okay? Because there's something about them that doesn't match up to everything else, okay? And so let's look different examples. Let's say that you claim to be a fashion expert, okay, and, you know, you run a fashion shop, and you dress 90% of everything that you wear is fashionable, and then your shoes are not fashionable. And that's like a dead giveaway that you're really not the fashion expert. You're really not the fashion person that you might say that you are, okay? For example, now we could go the other way. Okay, and we could say, let's take a homeless individual, okay? We take a homeless individual, and they're really homeless, okay? They haven't showered in 2 years, and they've got a long beard, and they stink, and their basket that they push, you know, has all of their belongings in it, okay? Now, if someone were to pretend to be a homeless person for some social experiment, okay, they might get everything right, okay? They might get the basket right. They might even get the clothes right. They might get everything right. Okay, but if they're clean-shaven and they don't stink, they don't have it right. And people will see right through that, and the social experiment will literally fail. Okay, probably these are both really bad examples, a fashion example and an example of a homeless individual. But the whole idea is, and then if we look at, I mentioned the police, you know, how do we see sometimes someone who is, let's just say they're a drug lord, and they've been successful for 15 years at evading the police, okay? And they're in a position where they've let their guard down for some reason, and they're passing through customs, and some brand new kid right out of police academy, okay, that doesn't even belong in this customs department. It's his first day, and something just doesn't feel right. And he detains that individual, and they find out it's the most wanted individual for 15 years. We hear stories about that type of thing from time to time in the news. Why does it happen? It's because deep down in people's guts, something's off. Okay, now here's the thing. All of that to say, when you are an expert, everything has to line up. And if you are an expert and you've got everything right, but then when you write an email, it sounds like it's coming from a really timid, shy person that doesn't know their material, that will give you away as not being an expert. Okay? And in fact, there's a very dangerous thing that can happen. I've had this happen to me before. Okay? You write an email campaign today, and 2 years from now, you are the expert. 90 days from now, you are the expert. You're positioned as the expert. But when somebody reads an email that you wrote in your email campaign even 90 days ago, it doesn't match up with your current experience, it makes it look like you don't have all your pieces together. And so just a quick idea there, and it's always a nice place to go and take a look at old emails from time to time. All of this to say, you've got to have all the pieces in place. I'm going to make another recommendation, and this is not a you have to do it type of thing. However, I believe this is strong. And I believe that the better you can get away from doing what I'm getting ready to suggest, I believe that the more you'll be able to be consistent with appearing to be an expert, okay? Now, you may not want to go all the way with this next topic, okay? And there's lots of debate in the marketing and advertising world on this topic, so this is not necessarily a clear-cut kind of thing, but definitely give it some thought. That's the word free. I would recommend that you be careful when you use the word free. Okay, I believe there's a place for free sometimes. You know, a great place for free is getting new subscribers. And that's a good place for free. Getting people to take a first look is a good place for free sometimes. Sometimes it gets more looks. Okay, however, I believe that when you constantly use the word free over and over and over and over and over again, you detract from your perception of being an expert. Why? Because generally speaking, you don't see experts just giving everything away for free. That doesn't mean you can't give away for free. Number one, you could give away something for free and explain why you're giving it away. You could explain, if this is a true scenario, that you're giving something away for free because it's no longer 100% valid. It's something you created 5 years ago. It's 95% valid, but you wouldn't feel ethical anymore price on it, and so you're giving it away for free. And you're telling them that there's something wrong with it. You know, it's 99% right. There's something, a couple of things in it that just don't work. Page 99 and page 50, they no longer work. So I'm giving it to you for free. And why am I giving it to you for free? Simply because I want to help you. And by the way, I'm hoping that if you see this and it's free, it's five-year-old information, that when I come out with a brand new package 3 months from now, that's literally going to blow away everything I've ever created on top of it, okay, that because you see the quality that I put into free, that you might want to invest in my new package coming out. I think you can tell people things like that. Okay? I think another thing that you can do, you can give things away for free, but don't call them free. I'm giving it to you. Read this. Listen to this. You don't have to attach the word free to it. It's still free. It's still a gift, but it's literally not tied to the word free. Okay, don't want to spend any more time on that. Another thing that you can do that can help bolster your recognized guru state is interviews, and both ways, you interviewing other people and other people interviewing you. So let's open this up. I'll just ask this question, okay? And I'm going to ask two questions here, and I'll just ask the first one, and then I'll ask the second one. The first question is, if 10 other people were to interview you, and obviously at the beginning of the interview there'd be, you know, 30 seconds where you talk about why you're qualified for them to interview you, and people are generally pretty giving and gracious on that first 30 seconds when they're interviewing you, okay? They'll build you up as being an expert. in whatever area you're an expert, if you were to have 10 interviews done of you and people were to find those interviews, would that help bolster your level of being an expert? What do you think?
Yeah, because non-experts don't get interviewed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And so if you were to just do one thing, I mean, I'm giving you, I can't even count how many different little things to do to make yourself appear to be an expert, conjunction with literally being an expert, because I've taught that as well, okay? But you don't have to do all of these things, but every single one of these things that you do makes you stronger. And so if you were to add in getting other people to interview you, then that would really improve your own expert status, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Okay. Now, what if you were to, let's turn this around, if you were to interview the other experts in your niche and you were to interview them, what would that do for your expert status?
It would show that you belong to the group of experts, so you must be an expert.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It would also show inclusivity. Simply by being identified with those other experts. Whether they ever say a good word about you or not, you could literally do their interview, put that on a website that you own, allow people to see that, and simply you interviewing them will create credibility for you. Okay, now, please understand, any of the things we're talking about today, none of these things, I believe, work in a vacuum. Okay, so you wouldn't want to just interview other people or just have people interview you or just stop using the word free or just have articles. When we're talking about doing many of these things together, there's an incredible synergistic effect, isn't there?
Yes, sum of all the parts.
Mm-hmm. So here's what I wanted to do. I'm always so hesitant to give out actual URLs on evergreen recordings and teachings like this because URLs do change over time. Okay. However, I feel like to give you the best information here, I've found a few URLs that I believe will help with this, and so I'm going to give them to you. But before I give them to you, let me say this, okay? You can find many more sources for experts to interview simply by Googling the term find experts to interview. The reason I know that you can is because that's where I found the ones I'm going to share with you, okay? I want to make this almost like a double whammy. I want to give you the places to go and also tell you how to go find more on your own, okay? And I encourage you to do it. Google, find experts to interview. However, there's three places that I believe that you can probably find some experts to interview very, very, very quickly. And let me just give you some background. There's a lot of experts out there that want to be interviewed. And they may not know everything that you do about building a list and writing articles and getting interview invitations like the things that I've taught you in the past, okay? And so what they do is they buy into organizations that promote them as being experts. And some of these organizations, you know, that the experts might pay $200, $300, $500 a year to simply be listed on the website as being an expert that could be interviewed. And they're hoping that you will call them, that you will interview them, and that by you interviewing them, they'll get exposure. That's what they're hoping. And so that's why it makes it so easy to find these interviews. And obviously, you can do the same thing. If you're not in a position where, you know, people are offering to interview you, you could go subscribe to one of these websites. You just do it for a year, be an expert there, have a few people interview you, and now when you've got these interviews that you can position, you can post, and help you help build up the concept that you are an expert. So the first one is ProfNet, P-R-O-F-N-E-T, and you can Google that, or you can go to profnet.prnewswire.com. So ProfNet, P-R-O-F-N-E-T dot prnewswire.com, or just Google ProfNet. Another place is experts.com, experts.com. Another place is called guestfinder.com. There's a lot of other websites out there just like these. I just wanted to give you some places you could go right away. Okay, before I move on, any questions or comments on anything that I've covered so far about positioning yourself and becoming the recognized guru in your market or niche?
Well, I've been studying one of the marketing gurus for general, for all small business marketing, probably a bit longer than I've been studying with yourself. So I've pretty much got all this information I've got. So I'm thinking I need to, A, go through all that material again, because it's still current and it's still very powerful, plus then look at some of the experts within the marketing niche to see exactly how they're angling their specific campaigns and knowledge for salons.
Absolutely. I mean, imagine if you were to take the information from the person that you've been following longer than you have me, you were to take information from me, and you were to go out and find several other individuals that are doing something similar to what you're doing, and you were to pick everybody's brain, and you were to really dig into that information, and we go through a lot of that information, you could literally, in a very short period of time, position yourself, at least to those people who are your followers, as being the expert of experts, the guru of gurus in your particular niche. Am I correct?
That is absolutely spot on.
This is exciting for you, isn't it?
Yes, this is very exciting because this is exactly, well, if I don't do this, I'm not going to get to the level of income that I need. And this is, I see, the fastest way of getting to where I need. Obviously, I've got to back it up. But this whole, everything you just said, yes, is very exciting.
Absolutely. Very good. Here's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to give just a few final pieces. I mean, these aren't even pieces of information. These are more thoughts. Just thoughts to go with this entire package. We've talked about what to do to literally become the guru or the expert in your niche market in a short period of time. We've talked about the idea that I believe you should become prolific. The more prolific, the better. And I believe that you should also do things to position yourself as being an expert. And we've gone through a number of those things. I want to throw one more piece in here that it's probably not necessary to this discussion. And it's going to restate some of what I've discussed, but I want this to dovetail with the other things that I teach, okay? And that is my own four-pillar system for creating an internet presence and creating an internet business. And I believe that if you were to take those four pillars, okay, and do all of those things in addition to, in conjunction with, and again, there's definitely a lot of overlap here, with the three components that I've taught today on becoming an expert and positioning yourself as an expert, I believe that you'll be able to solidify that position not only as a worldwide expert of experts, guru of gurus, but also to your own followers. And those four pillars are, number one, traffic generation. And I believe that article marketing is an incredible method of traffic generation. I mean, that's my primary form of traffic generation and has been for years, and I intend for it to continue to be my primary traffic generation for years to come. And the beautiful thing is it really fits into this expert model because experts tend to write articles. Articles tend to be written by experts. The second pillar is building a list of loyal followers, not just a list of names, not just a list of names and emails, but a list of people, a list of real people who have real needs and real feelings, okay, and real desires, and that could really use your help. The third pillar is building a trusted relationship with those followers. Now, that trusted relationship can come through a couple of different means. One of those means can be through the emails that are written. However, another place to really solidify that trusted relationship is by doing the things we've talked about today and literally positioning yourself as an expert. People tend to trust experts. So by positioning yourself as an expert, you increase the trust of the people on your list. And speaking of an email campaign, we go back to this idea. If we send out to our list, to our email list, articles that are brand new information that other people, it's not common knowledge. We create short videos, short audios that are not common knowledge. That helps us solidify our position as literally being the expert of experts, the guru of gurus in your particular niche or subcategory or sub niche, whatever the case is. And then the fourth pillar is creating products. I'm a big believer in creating products. I believe that the more products, the merrier. Obviously, if there's more products, the implication is that there's more knowledge. And so as you become an expert, you should be gaining more and more and more knowledge. As you gain that knowledge, you can share that knowledge in the form of products. Those products can be books. They can be the easiest product to create is a recording. It really is, because in literally, it takes you 1 hour to create a 1 hour teaching. Takes you 10 hours to create a 10-hour teaching. Now, it may take you 100 hours to learn all the information to become an expert so that you can teach 1 hour or to teach 10 hours. If the actual creation of the product, boy, it can really happen fast with an audio. Another place that can happen, that the product is a little, is an easy thing to create. It's easier than an ebook. It's not as easy as an audio, and that is a video. Okay, a video does take longer to create. You either got a filming, it either needs to be filmed, or B, if you use something like a PowerPoint type of a presentation, okay, that makes this into an audio, or it makes this into a video, then obviously there's the time in creating that particular presentation. There's a little bit more time there. Some would argue that there's a higher perceived value with a video. So we've got books, we've got videos, we've got audios. We also have coaching programs. And a coaching program can be something as simple as weekly email contact with PDF lessons, through to weekly or monthly audio lessons, to video lessons that contain some level of personal contact, whether it's telephone contact, whether it's email contact. So there's lots of different options with coaching programs. Again, this is not about my four pillar system. I just wanted to make sure that this information on becoming a recognized guru and expert dovetails and fits well with everything else that I teach. So the three steps, let's review these real quickly. Number one, you've got to have the niche knowledge. Go out and get it. Buy your competitor's products. Learn it. Not just one competitor and become a clone of one person. Buy everybody's products until you can literally become immersed in the information. The second thing is, I believe you should be prolific. Write articles, create products, have websites, have blogs, have conversations, have blog conversations, have email conversations. Then you must act like an expert. When you write an article, it has to read as if it came from an expert. If you create a YouTube video, it needs to look like it came from an expert. If you do an interview, it needs to sound like it came from an expert. If you have a picture taken of yourself, it should look like, you should make you look like an expert. It should appear to that you are an expert. Okay. Just a couple of final thoughts on this, okay? Be an expert. That's step number one here, is knowing the niche. Be an expert. Put your internet foundation in place, which is the four pillars that I just mentioned, and people will come to you. Okay. One question to think about is this idea that, you know, what happens when you meet an expert? If you meet an expert personally, there's two things that happen. Number one, you want more from that expert. And many times, if you want more, you recognize there's a price and you begin to be willing to buy whether or not they're presenting merchandise for sale. You want to buy access to that expert. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah.
Excellent. Concept I've touched on earlier, but I want to touch on it again, and that's this idea that people decide about you in their gut. Okay? Not only do they evaluate the fact that you call yourself an expert, not only do they evaluate the fact that others may call you an expert, not only do they evaluate the fact that you have 18 products or one product, they also filter in all the different things they see about you. Do you look like an expert? Do you sound like an expert? Do you write like an expert? And if all those pieces don't match up, they won't know why they don't want to buy from you. But something in their gut will say, that's not really an expert. So everything has to line up. You must, every piece of this puzzle must come together so that you present a unified front that not only are you an expert, but you appear to be an expert.
Just a little...
In fact,
just a little,
Here's an interesting thought. If you I'll just ask you this. If you personally believe deep down inside that somebody is an expert, somebody else comes along and says to you that that is not really an expert, what is your natural knee-jerk reaction? Is your personal natural knee-jerk reaction to try to defend the fact that the person you believe is an expert really is an expert?
Yes, if
yeah.
you believe that, yes.
Yeah. Belief is sometimes more important than words. If people believe that you are an expert, they will defend that voraciously. Why? One of the reasons is, in our own minds, we have to be consistent. In our own minds, we have to be consistent psychologically. And if we believe that someone is an expert, we can't also hold the thought that they're not an expert. We have to make a decision. So if someone were to come along and say, no, there's somebody else is really the expert, if we deep down inside believe that you are the expert, it's going to be very difficult to change that, even if someone else really is the expert. Okay, and that's why you literally have to maintain a unified front in appearing to be the expert that you really are. One more thought. Act like an expert or a guru. Do the things that people do when they are a guru and expert, and then people will treat you as if you are an expert or a guru. So my final thought to you on this, my final thought is now it is time for you to go out, become a guru, act like a guru, and get treated like an expert or a guru in your niche.